You're listening to WWBC Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
You are tuned into New Beginnings in Christ Ministries, where the pastor is Ralph Williams. And now here with today's
and every
message
Friday,
is Pastor Ralph.
Don't hear, you won't hear this one for a while because I got a lot of content in there. But you, if you say amen real loud, somebody will say, oh, I know who that is. That was that Cedar. We're back in the study in the book of Ephesians. By way of review, we're in chapter 3. And I'll start my reading at verse 17. Thank you, Lord. No, actually, it started backing up, started at verse 13 of chapter 3. Please, please, please silence the phones. Before we go into the text, I'm going to open up with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, dear Lord, for this time of study, for this time that you've allotted for these men here at Cedar, Father God, that you'll minister to them and bless them in a mighty and a special way. For those that are going through some things, Father God, I pray that you will meet them at their most dire need and bless in a mighty and a special way, Father God. Help us to see your word, your scripture in a brand new way, Father God. Allow your Holy Spirit to feed us, to bless us, to minister to us, and Father God, we'll be ever so mindful to give your name all the honor, all the praise, and all the glory as we pray in Jesus' name and for his name's sake. Let God's church say, amen.
Amen.
As we continue our study, we're in chapter 3 and we'll begin our reading at verse 13. Paul had been looking, had been ministering to this church at Ephesus and to us, as this is a general epistle, and he's been speaking to us in regard to who we are in Christ and surely whose we are. We know we belong to the Lord. In verse 13, he says, wherefore I desire, as he's writing to these guys, now we know he's incarcerated. He says, wherefore I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. And we saw this last week as well, Paul saying that, look, I'm in prison, but I'm in prison for doing what God has called me to do. And though I am incarcerated for the purpose of, because I'm sharing the gospel, he said, it's okay, don't worry about that. This was part of God's divine plan for me, and I ministered to the guys that I come across here in jail as well. And by the way, guys, you're here because somewhere along the line, God said you needed to be here for his purposes, and whatever that is, whatever, how long you're going to be here, you need to get with him and figure out all that he would have for you while you're in this place. In verse 14, he says, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul's saying, look, I'm praying, even though I'm in jail, I'm praying for the opportunity. I'm here, I got time, I can write this letter, and I can be a blessing to you as well. He says, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Verse 16 says that as he continues in his prayer, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened, it says, with all might by his spirit in the inner man. And listen, we already know we fatten up the outer man pretty good. We don't have no problem with that. Put a plate of food in front of you and it's going to be gone in not too long. But he's talking about that inner man, that he would have God to strengthen him, to fatten him up, to help us to get away from the old and to be blessed in the new and get those spiritual muscles as opposed to the physical muscles. Our physical muscles, they're going to kind of take care of themselves. But the only way we can get these spiritual muscles is to be knee deep in the things of the Lord. Amen. He says in verse 17, as he continues in prayer, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. He said that you being rooted and grounded in love. And we talked about that last week a little bit as well, that if you're rooted and grounded in Christ, you're not going to be removed. We made an analogy with the trees or the palm trees, and the winds go blow and they bend all the way over. Sometimes they touch the ground. But because they're rooted, they will spring right back up. with the exception of the trees that aren't nourished, the ones that are rotten inside because their spirit man, their core man, had not been fed by nutrients from the ground, and sometimes they bend over and they break. But for the believer, we're rooted and grounded in Christ. Man, you might bend. You might bow down a little bit. You might even get thrown off your game just a bit. But if Christ has got you, he's going to raise you back up. Amen?
Amen.
And guys, along those same lines, I want us to go from here and look at some verses of scripture in the book of Romans. Romans chapter 8 to your left. Romans chapter 8. And just look at a few verses here. And we've seen these before. Chapter 8, beginning at verse 28. As Paul writes some things here to the believers. And it also dovetails off of us being rooted in Christ. Romans chapter 8, beginning at verse 28. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So, sir, you need a Bible? Okay, good. I'm glad you got one. And verse 28 says, and we know, and what Paul is presupposing that we ought to know, he's saying we know, and for the believer, we ought to know what he's getting ready to tell us, that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. And listen, I know in your life, and I know in my life, there's been some things, and I say, man, how could this possibly be for good? If I've lost my home or my job, or I get addicted to drugs or alcohol, or I lose a loved one, how could it be good? How could it be for good? And what he's saying, that if you know Christ, if you love Christ, that somehow God has orchestrated this thing in your life, and it's going to work out okay. And you might not can realize right now what's going to be the positive of what you're going through, but God has a plan, man. And he has a plan for each of our lives. And if we're rooted in him, if we're grounded in him, we're going to be okay. And whether or not we can see it today, God said there's a tomorrow for the believer that you don't know about. And all these things that I'm allowing is working out for good. He says, for them that know God and for them that are called according to his purpose. In verse 29, he says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn of many brethren. And look, what he's talking about is that for the believer, everything that happens is to make you more like Jesus Christ. No more like me. Man, I had a lifetime of that. And I've screwed that up each and every step of the way. But to be made more like Jesus Christ, that pleases God. And in reality, man, that's what's going to get you over each time you go through something. He says in verse 30, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. And in this one verse, he's showing us from God calling us into salvation. And then all the way into heaven. And he does this all in one verse, in verse 30. And go, I shared this before, when you were little and you were outside playing and your mother or your father or whoever was watching over you called you, you knew their voice. And listen, if you were with a bunch of kids and somebody called out, a mother called out, you, oh no, that's not my mother, I don't have to go. But when your mom called or your dad called, you knew that voice. And you knew by the tone of it just how urgently should you go. And look, that's how God has called individuals. And look, he seldom calls collectively everybody at one time. He'll call you, and maybe he didn't call your friend, but he called you. And listen, that calling means I need to turn loose my friend, and I need to see what God wants. And that's how we're in Christ. He says in verse 30, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. In other words, made just as if you hadn't sinned, even though you had. It says, in whom he justified, them he also glorified. And ultimately, this is not our home. Our home is in heaven. And very soon, we will be there. Verse 31 says, what shall we say then to these things? If, and that's a big if, he says, God be for us. Who can be against us? And the reason why it's a big if, because you need to make sure you're in Christ. And if you're in him, I don't care who it is, there's no one that can actually successfully be against you. They might try, they might look like they're winning, but in reality, Satan's already defeated and he's simply waiting for God to take and throw him in the pit. But for right now, God's got you. He says in verse 32, he continues with this good news. He says, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him, or how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? And listen, he's talking about not all your wants, but all your needs, man. They can be found in Christ Jesus, and he'll give them to you. And look, a lot of times we spend a lot of time looking over here and looking over there and trying to be satisfied with the things of this world, but we need to get closer to Christ because he knows exactly what you need and knows the proportion you need it and knows when you need it. And guess what? It's in his grasp. He's got it. And he said, leave that mess of the world alone. Get closer to me. And what you need in this life, I'm going to make sure you get it. But sometimes we get impatient. Oh, we don't want to wait. And God said, no, you're going to wait, I say, on the Lord. Yes, sir. Oh, you just saying amen? God bless you. And I know that's right. A whole lot of hands could go up. He says, verse 33. Who shall lay anything, it says, to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. And again, we're elected by God, and the Godhead is the only one that had a vote in this thing. And by the way, nobody, they can bring, Satan brings charges against you all day long. But Christ looks at, but God looks at the Son, and the Son gives his nod that no, their name is in the Lamb's book of life. I paid for that. No condemnation for that one, because I took care of it. He says in verse 34, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God. And I love the end of this verse. He says, who maketh intercession for us. And listen, it says in Romans 8 and 1, there's therefore, because of what Christ has done, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Man, and listen, it says he makes intercession for us. And he's talking about he prays for you guys. Sometimes you don't know what to pray. Sometimes you got a want or a need, and you don't know what to do with this thing. He's actually interceding to God on your behalf on a regular basis. And that's the God of glory, man. That's a blessing. He says in verse 35, he says, who shall separate you, us, it says, from the love of Christ? And listen, it's a good question, because there are times, many times you feel like, man, maybe I've lost my salvation, or you feel like I went faulty, I went the wrong way. But Paul straightens this out right here. He says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And he goes on this whole laundry list of things. He says, shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? And listen, what we know is that Paul has been through all of these here, and he's still alive and writing this word to help us to know that nothing separated him. He says in verse 36, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. And look, from Satan's perspective, that's all he wants to do is slaughter you. In fact, that's our new job designation. That Satan simply wants to get you off of your love and your concern and your ministry for Christ. And he wants to drag you right back to where you were. He wants to do that. But God said, no, they're mine. You can't have them anymore. Do we slip off the podium from time to time? Do we?
Yes.
Yeah, we do. And listen, the only reason why we do is not because we have to. It's because we want to. But you ever be somewhere and you're riding around in your old hoopty, your old raggedy car, or you're walking or you're riding your bike and you see a car and you say, man, I like that car. If I could only have that car. And that's sometimes what we do with sin. We have a revisionist history in our head of how it actually was. Man, it was so nice when I was with her. Man, it was so nice when I got high. Man, it was so nice when I get a couple of pops and I wasn't feeling no pain. And listen, Satan tries to remind you of how good it felt, but man, he don't remind you of the hangover or the next day when you're craving or the next day you done messed around and got some kind of VD or something. He don't remind you of that. Only the good times. And what God says through Paul is that you need to stay with him. He's got you. And what he has for you is so much better than what the world has for you. He says in verse 36, as it is written, "For thy sake we have killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things," he says, "we are more than conquerors through him that loved us." And look, we're overcomers because Christ has overcome. He goes on in verse 38. "For I am persuaded," look, Paul's giving a personal testimony here. He says, "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come," he goes on, "nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature," and listen, that includes man, even when they're trying to tempt you to go back, he's saying they can't separate you from God. He says, "shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." And listen, Christ's love dictated that he died for you, and he called you and blessed you into salvation, and he has rooted you in himself. And the only way you can get unrooted, in fact, you can't get unrooted if indeed you are his, but you can pull them bad boys up every once in a while and step in some mess. But Paul says that you're Christ or you're his forever. And I get it. There may be some times when you felt like you lost your salvation. But guys, understand that you broke fellowship. If you're Christ, you may have broken fellowship, but he still is your Lord and your Savior. And as his child, there are some things you shouldn't do. But I dare say, I know there are some things that you did anyhow, but he still loves you. Remember the story of the truth of the prodigal son, how he told his dad he wants everything that was coming to him. He wanted his inheritance here on earth. And the father gave it to him, and he set him free. And he went out and was got involved in riotous living, spent all his money. And before long, he was found himself feeding hogs. And that was a real downgrade for a Jewish person. Not only feeding them, he was eating the very food that they were eating. But he realized, as God opened his eyes, that man, my father, he has everything. He's rich. I'm going to go back and I'm going to beg him to let me come back home and I'll just be a laborer. And he went home and his father was there looking, waiting for him to come back. And he put a ring on his hand and he killed a fatted calf and he had a party for his son because his son has come home. And guys, when we mess up, God is waiting for us to come back because he wants us back. And listen, never gave up on you, even though you gave up on yourself. And there might be some chastisement that has to happen. There might be some consequences for what you've done. But man, he's still got a home for you. In fact, he never did anything with your room. He left it open because he knew one day you were going to come back. Not so much as a lowly servant that has to eat corn husks, but as his child whom he has died for and one day will have you in his heaven. Amen.
Amen.
If you would, put back to Ephesians chapter 3. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Look at verse 17. "That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being," it says, "rooted and grounded in love," and that's God's love, "may be able to comprehend," it says, "with all the saints," or all saints, "what is the breadth and the length and the depth in the height." And guys, what he's talking about there in verse 18, he's talking about that God will actually open your eyes to help you to realize just how big he is. Man, you might think you know how big he is, but he's bigger than that. And he can take care of all things all at the same time. And these little petty problems that we have really is nothing, a drop in a bucket to him. And he's bigger than anything you can imagine in your mind. And even though the Bible depicts heaven and shows us how it is, man, I've got to believe it's even greater than that, because there's some words that God would tell us about it that we could never understand. And he wants us to know how big our God is. Bigger than your problems, bigger than your issues, bigger than your family problems, bigger than any disease that you got, bigger than any issue that you can come up in your mind. And even when the doctor says that you gotta leave here, our God is bigger than death, because he, hallelujah, brings life. And if he can grow and bring somebody out of the grave who was showing up dead, he can show them, take care of your issues. But you got to get close to him, and you got to be sold out to him, and you got to give him your all, because he wants to give you his all. Amen. Look at verse 19. And to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. And he's talking about all human knowledge. And you think about what Christ did, how he died for you, for a sinner such as we. Doesn't make any sense, but he did it anyway. He says it passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. And listen, he's saying that we'll be filled with all the fullness of God. That's why Christ died for us anyhow. And listen, it doesn't matter what you're going through, that you can still be full of the fullness of God and know even his joy in the midst of trouble. He says in verse 20, now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. And he's talking about God's Holy Ghost power, guys. And listen, he's so big and can do oh so much more than we can even think. He goes on in verse 21 as he continues his benediction. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages. The verse says world without end. And he says amen. And guys, sometimes we, in our finite mind, we just think about what we see here on earth. We think about what we can do here, get a job, get some money, get a wife, or whatever. But it's so big, much bigger than that. And look, the bulk of our eternal life is going to be lived in heaven. This is only a drop in the bucket. And while we're here, for the time that we're here, we need to be serving him, because he's showing up, takes care of us, every aspect of our lives. And I think if we can ever come to that place to understand that, to realize that, man, then we can really mature and grow in our faith. He says in chapter 4, beginning at verse 1, if you're with me, say amen.
Amen.
He says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord. And guys, by the way, take note of that. He doesn't say the prisoner of Rome. He says the prisoner of the Lord. He knows God has him in this place. He says, beseech you. And that word beseech simply means that he's pleading with them. He says, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you were called. And he's talking about how we live. And many times we'll say our vocation is our secular job. That's your part-time vocation, because you ain't going to be here forever. But your full-time vocation is to serve the Lord in everything that you do. And listen, if you're working a shop that's working on cars, then you are a saved mechanic. If you work somewhere where you're doing telemarketing, then you are a saved telemarketer. You're still working for the Lord, and he had dispatched you to this place, but you are his ambassador there. And at some places, you might be the only God that anybody gets to see. And how they see you is how they want to think about your God. And if we just think about that every once in a while, it'll stop us from getting ugly. And if somebody gets on our last nerve, maybe we need to take a break. Go in the bathroom and scream, or do whatever you got to do. But you don't want them to see you, who are professing to be a Christian, acting like a park ape and just like those of the world. He says, I therefore, verse 1 of chapter 4, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. He says, with all lowliness and meekness and long suffering. And by the way, guys, God suffers long with us. He puts up with our mess, doesn't he? Every once in a while, we need to put up with others' mess as well. We need to suffer long with some folk. We don't need to cuss them out right after they do something wrong, because we were in that same place, and folk got to suffer long with us as well. He says, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and this is the key. He says, in love, because in reality, man, I love you. I don't even know you, but I love you. And I love you because God loved me, Christ loved me, and I can spread that love out to you. Now, you might do something to me to tick me off, and I might not like you that day, but I'm still going to love you. And if you need me, I'm still going to come to your aid. Might not like you sometimes, but I'm going to love you, because I dare say this sometimes when I just got to believe, man, God, you ain't liking me too much, but he'll always love me. So much so that he's going to tell me the truth. And by the way, I love you so much, I'm going to tell you the truth. If I see you out and about and you're doing something that you should not be doing, I'm going to tell you I love you. But you should not be doing what you're doing. And I'm going to share that love as well. And vice versa, you do the same with me. He says in verse 2, he says, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. And listen, the reason or the purpose why we do this, Paul says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. In other words, man, we're supposed to be brothers in Christ. So we know sometimes brothers and sisters argue, but man, we still love them and we don't throw them away because of that. Man, there's some folk that are walking around right now and they got a mat on from the 90s. And I'll never talk to them again. I'll never forgive them for what they did. Man, God forgave you of all your mess. Why can't we forgive one another for something that they done years ago? And by the way, Christ says you can't forgive them, then I can't forgive you as well. Because there's something that you've done to somebody, and they've forgiven you. And if nobody else has, Christ surely has. He says in verse 3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. He goes on, he says, there is one body. And what's that body called? The church, the body of Christ. And he's using the human body to depict what he's talking about. And this human body, it really can't work independent of itself. My leg can't say, that's it. Man, you always going walking. I'm tired. I'm leaving the body. You can't. You're attached. So you need to long suffer with me as God does something with me. And listen, that body is indeed the church. He said there's one body and one spirit. What's the spirit?
You've been listening to Pastor Ralph Williams from New Beginnings in Christ Ministries. If you'd like to contact Pastor Ralph, you can write to him at Post Office Box 101427, Palm Bay, Florida 32910. Once again, that's Pastor Ralph Williams, Post Office Box 101427, Palm Bay, Florida 32910. You also can email them at newbeginningslamp. LAMP at gmail.com. Be with us again next Friday morning at 10 o'clock for another program from the New Beginnings in Christ Ministries.